Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating?
Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Because I'm the coach, that's why. Because I'm the coach, that's why. Thanks, Betty. Thanks, Betty. Betty Perkins got me this sweatshirt. I need about 10 of them, Betty. Don't go buy 10 of them, Betty. But I need to wear one of these everywhere I go. You know why, folks? Listen, I was saying through a confluence of events this morning, this has happened to me. This is the second time this has happened to me now. We have I've had miscommunication or whatever with a guest. And I'm not blaming anybody, but it puts unbelievable pressure on your dear host, which would be me, to figure out, am I going to be doing an interview or do I have to just talk for an hour? And I do a lot of show prep to get a show up and running. And like yesterday, my guest didn't show up on my Brideon show. Just didn't, whatever, didn't show up. And there I am with 44 minutes to fill without anything in front of me. So a wise guy would have whatever I am, coach, I guess, would have an alternative plan. That's what coaching is all about. That when your number one plan stopped, you have to have an alternative plan. That's why the Cleveland Browns got beat the other night, because when they couldn't run the ball, they really had nothing else to turn to, right? That's much the way, that's the world in which we live. And so again, this morning, through miscommunication, nobody's fault. We were supposed to have Dr. Carrie Madej on today, and just through miscommunication, we don't have Carrie this morning, but we have her tomorrow along with Dr. Lee Merritt, which, by the way, is a great catch. They're both in the Cleveland, Ohio area. If you don't know who Dr. Carrie Madej is, throw that up there real quick, Spencer. I'm telling a story here as we do that. Dr. Carrie Madej, she's a sweetheart. Carrie's a real sweetheart. She lives up in Michigan. She's a DO. And she's the one who discovered those, what was the name of that thing inside the, boy, my brain is fried, inside the blood, Hydra. She discovered the Hydra. She was going to be on this morning, but she got in late. We have to download Google Meet. Well, everybody's got to download it. So it runs into headaches. So this is the second show in a row, meaning the one yesterday in the afternoon where I was going one way with the show, and then all of a sudden, boom, something else happens, and it doesn't. But Carrie's going to be with us tomorrow, as well as Dr. Lee Merritt. Now, I don't have Lee Merritt's website that I could throw up there. They're both going to be here tomorrow, and they're going to take questions. My wife said to me this morning, let me vent here a second. Pretty profound question, my wife said. What are we going to do? Because I'm the coach, that's why. What are we going to do? My wife said. And I was looking across the spectrum of what's going on. Do you have any idea how much evidence there is that the masks don't work? Do you guys have any idea? What they would call in the courtroom a preponderance of evidence. Do you have any idea how much evidence there is that the vaccines are dangerous? It's what the courtroom would call a preponderance of evidence, meaning 51-49. That's a preponderance of evidence. Do you guys know that there's no doubt that the election, we can't say whether it was stolen, but the election was not clean. A preponderance of evidence would show that the election was not clean. Do you know that there's a preponderance of evidence showing that they don't have any right to make you take a vaccine? There's a preponderance of evidence showing that. Do you know that? Do you know that there's a preponderance of evidence showing now that schools are basically stealing our money, indoctrinating our kids, and acting as babysitters. There's basically a preponderance of evidence now, 51-49, probably higher than that. But not the, see, it doesn't have to be a unanimous decision. It doesn't have to be 100-0. It's a preponderance of the evidence. So as we look at what's going on out on America, I believe this, that there's a preponderance of evidence that most Americans aren't happy with what's going on. In fact, there's a preponderance of evidence that most Americans don't even think Joe Biden is actually running the country. There's a preponderance of evidence. You talk to most people and they would agree with that. There's a preponderance of evidence that most people understand something is seriously wrong with our government. There's a preponderance of evidence that people don't trust the FBI. There's a preponderance of evidence that people don't trust Congress. There's a preponderance of evidence that people don't trust the Republicans and they don't trust the Democrats. There's a preponderance of evidence that our pastors are selling us out. Are you with me, folks? There's a preponderance of evidence. Without a doubt, the majority of people understand everything I just said. Something is seriously wrong, but they don't know what it is. And so my sweet wife of 42 years and 4 days now said to me, what are we going to do? Well, I know what let's do. Let's have another conference. Let's have another conference and we'll all talk about the preponderance of evidence. And have you seen this? 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 And they're doing this and they're doing this and they're doing it. See you next week. My wife of 42 years and 4 days said, what are we going to do? That's the question, isn't it? What are we going to do? Because if we don't do something, we the people, we the majority people, if we don't do something, there's a preponderance of evidence that there's a lot of bad things coming down the highway. What are we going to do? I don't have an answer. Maybe I could throw it open for that. But that's where, that's as I sit here today, I know this. I know this, okay? Preponderance of evidence. That all the people who host conservative podcasts were to get their people organized, we would win. There's a preponderance of evidence. There's a preponderance of evidence that there are far more people watching podcasts, shows like this, far more watching these than are watching the mainstream media. Preponderance of evidence that this is going on. The question, 42 years and 4 days, what are we going to do? That's the question of the day. Vaccines are killing people. There's a preponderance of evidence to show that. Vaccines are damaging people. There's a preponderance of evidence to show that. But yet, it looks like there's a veil over 2 Thessalonians, Spencer, 2 Thessalonians, please. There's a veil over the mind of the people.
Amen.
And I don't know how we break through.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Scroll down, Spencer. I want to make sure. I don't want to be in 3. Just 2 Thessalonians, start at 1. Keep going. So am I in the right place? Second, seems right thing.
Chapter 2.
Did I say 2? I'm sorry. Chapter 2. Thank you. I'd looked all day on that. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together under. Hey, folks, listen to me. Please listen to me. Jesus had already come. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Imminent. Here. And let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And how do we know the son of, how do we know this is an actual man? Listen, I'm not getting into a theological discussion with you. I'm asking you to think with me. I'm asking you to wipe your head clean of everything that you've believed, and just read what the words say. All right? Let no man deceive you. That, by the way, this is, what did they say? Somebody told me the other day, 60 to 80 AD, right? This is just after Christ came. This is new. This ain't being read in 2021. They tell them in 80 AD, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come except to come of falling away first, a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Were they expecting him then? Was it an imminent return then? Were they expecting it then? Were they expecting even right then an imminent revealing of the man of perdition? I mean, we're still reading this today, thinking it's written. The time keeps changing. It just keeps getting, well, it's not today, it's tomorrow. Well, now it's tomorrow. No, no, it's today. Now we just keep extending it out. It's extending it out. And, right? But it's not going to come unless it comes of falling away. First man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself of all that is called God. I would say that's already gone on. Wouldn't you guys agree with me that this isn't some man, that this is a spirit, and this is already going on? Would anybody want to argue that with me? Anybody want to argue with me that this is already going on?
In the scripture, it's referring to a man because it's referring to a specific event, and other scriptures say it's a man. But there is a spirit of Antichrist. John speaks about that too. They're both working together, but the man of perdition has not been revealed.
Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God. That spirit's already at work. I'm going to show you that.
Yes, the spirit is at work, yes.
That is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Would the Supreme Court of the United States, would they be thinking that they're God? Do you think they're thinking that right now? That spirit in the Supreme Court justices, sitting as God in the temple of God, determining whether a baby can live or a baby cannot live, whether a man can be a man or a woman or be whatever you want to. Would anybody say that that is an Antichrist spirit that's already at work, other than the actual Antichrist himself? And we're sitting around, we're worrying about when the Antichrist is going to show up. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? See, I've been talking about this for quite a while. And no, don't you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? For the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Two thousand years ago. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Is that the Holy Spirit? Is that what they're talking about? Restraining of the Holy Spirit's all keeping us? Till he be taken out of the way? And then when that happens, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume? Wow, that's something, isn't it? The Lord, this devil, this Luciferian anti-God, Antichrist spirit is going to be consumed by the spirit of his mouth.
Hallelujah.
Evidently, he's going to say something, and the enemy is going to be consumed. Wow. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him. Who's he going to destroy? Even him who coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I'm going to bring a vaccine. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Think about that. Unrighteousness being deceiving. The deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish. Because why? Why they receive not the love of the truth.
Amen.
And it's only the love of the truth that's going to save them. It's only the love of the truth that's going to save every one of us on this call. Only the love of the truth. Does anybody think I'm taking truth out of context here? Or I'm just merely reading what it says? Because they receive not the love of the truth. What's going to happen? For him who's coming after we're going to say with all power. No. And then shall that wicked be revealed to him, the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him who's coming after the work and save with all signs, wonders, lying wonders, all deceivableness, unrighteousness, in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. People do not love truth. People get angry at truth. Some of you are mad right now. You're mad right now because you're hearing the truth and you've been believing something that's not true. Now, I'm not saying what you're believing is not true. It's situational. Or it's, Lord, help me get the words to say here.
If it's not true, it's not true.
Amen. Not true. Amen, Larry. Amen.
And for this cause, stop. What cause? Why, they receive not the love of the truth. Hey, folks, do we love the truth in America today? Do we love the truth? No, we don't love the truth. No, I put on a few pounds and I blame it on something else. So it couldn't be me eating too much, right? It couldn't be. I'm not gaining weight, by the way. Just don't throw that out there. And for this cause, God's going to send them a strong delusion. Who is?
God.
Oh, man. God's going to say, all right, boys, you want some more of that? Here you go. Here you go. Go ahead. Hey, folks, I want you to notice this. This delusion isn't coming from the devil. You do notice that, don't you? And for this cause, God shall send them. Who's sending it? That's the judgment of God on America today. He is sending them strong delusion that they believe the lie, that they believe an unborn baby doesn't have a right to live. That is a delusional lie, friends. That they would believe that Donald Trump is going to save America, that is a delusional lie. I could go on. You could, Adam, you could go on and on and on with the delusional lies. And we look around, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth.
Amen.
What's going to happen to those who don't believe the truth? They're all going to be damned. But they had pleasure. Church has pleasure in inviting sodomites into the pulpit. They have pleasure in it. In unrighteousness. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brothers. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you, wow, are you kidding me, to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto you're called by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot come to Christ and be denying the truth. You can't live there, friends. You can't live there. Unless there's a strong delusion that's come. But if I read it right, maybe somebody out there can interpret or help me. This believing of the lie only comes on those who love lies. It doesn't come on those of us who love the truth. If we love the truth, this delusion isn't on us. But if we don't love the truth, then the delusion, it's like an injection. All right, come on in, Joe. I'm not nearly finished. This is all up and down and through me. And I look around. I hang on, Joe. I'm sorry. I just look around, and I listen to Carrie Madej, and I listen to Sherry Tenpenny. I listen to Lee Merritt. I listen to Brian Artis. I listen to Stella Emanuel. I listen to doctors that I know who are telling something entirely different than what the modern American system is telling us. And I cannot believe the government. I believe these truth. I recognize truth. I hear the truth. My sheep hear my voice, truth, and another voice they won't hear. I hear truth. I hear it. And it doesn't break through. As Michelle, my wife of 42 years and 4 days, said, what are we going to do? That's the question, isn't it? What are we going to do? We're watching them right now, my friends. I'm going to tell you something. If you cannot see this, that the government, your government, has usurped the power of the church to where some bureaucrat gets to determine whether or not you have proper free exercise of your faith. Some government bureaucrat is going to look at your medical exemption, religious exemption, and determine on whether or not that is valid. The Bible says that's the devil acting like God. That's what it says right there in Thessalonians. That the government says, you're not Christian enough, I guess. Sorry, you got to take the jab. Can't you see? Can't you see it? And if they can get away with that, oh, they'll take your Social Security. Sure they will. Sure they will. Oh, they'll take your property. Yeah, they'll take your property. Hell, you let them take your schools. You let them take your schools. They send you the bill. They teach your kids lies. You continue to pay the bills. Why? Because you're afraid you might go to jail if you don't. Might lose the property. Well, you might lose the property, but if you keep teaching that, you're going to lose the society. Because they're teaching your children lies. They're teaching our children lies. I heard you, Michelle. What are we going to do? I've been doing this show almost 6 years. Every morning, almost 6 years. And I come in here every day and try to lay truth on the table. And we dissect it and we chew it up and we spit it out. And nothing changes. Nothing changes. Because we're confused in a lot, so many different ways. We're confused. Is it the end times? Are we done here? Is that what they thought 2,000 years ago was the end time? 2,000 years ago, they thought there was that spirit of Antichrist was already at work. Back in when he wrote Thessalonians, it was already at work. It's been at work for 2,000 years. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. And we're supposed to engage in that battle. We're supposed to expand the gospel. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It doesn't mean we go to heaven. Thy kingdom come. Where? On earth. Is anybody getting this but me? Am I just having a purging inside me today? Thy kingdom come, not we go to the kingdom. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Bring heaven to earth through the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Coach. Amen.
And we're in evacuation mode. Can I tell you why we're in evacuation mode? Because there's been a strong delusion sent by the Lord because we rejected the truth. And he said, just like you would say to your own children, hey, go ahead and do what you want. You believe that? Go ahead. He gave us over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Oh, my God, I could go on long. Hey, listen, I'm holier than you.
Preach it.
I'm not holier than you. I'm not more righteous than you. I still battle that old carnal man. I still have those carnal thoughts. I still fight that fight like everybody else. I mean, nothing perfect about me other than I sure can recognize some truth, and we ain't getting it.
Amen.
I heard you, Michelle.
We need to repent. We need to repent.
Then what? Go ahead, Joe.
Coach, maybe Michelle's wanting you to hold the stick man with all the knowledge that we receive. And what are we going to do? And we got a local abortion clinic down here accepting BPT cards for payment for abortions.
Yep. Well, Jesus must be coming, Joe. Jesus must be coming. It's the only thing I can say. Come on in, Alan.
Coach, there's a couple of scriptures that come to my mind. The first one would be, it just goes, you went to Matthew 25 about the five foolish virgins. Bottom line is, you're a fool if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. The reason why you see truth and it keeps you up at night trying to figure it out, because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Got you. He's leading you in the right way. Amen. And the other one is, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge in Hosea. So there it is right there, Coach. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be able to understand anything, especially stuff in God's Word.
Amen. Amen.
Coach, I'm going to tell you that there's two groups of people right now I'm doing a message on. I haven't finished it. There's those that are driven. And the man that was man from Gadara that was full of 6,000 demons, he was driven. But Jesus, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was led into the wilderness. So we're either being driven right now by the devil or being led by the Holy Ghost.
Well, that's well said, Alan. That's well said. Can the truth be told here? The Holy Ghost isn't even welcome in most churches. Now, listen, please help me here. Folks, if you think you have a Holy Ghost church because your music's good and you wave flags and you dance in the aisles, if you think that's a holy, that is absolute. That would be like taking Nick Saban, the football coach at Alabama, and having me coach Biddy football. The Holy Spirit is so far above waving flags and dancing in the aisle and speaking in tongues. He's so much more than that. He has the power to uproot and destroy kingdoms. And I don't know if you've understood this or not. There's another kingdom in operation in America. And our job, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is to root that thing out, to tear that thing apart, to pluck it down, and to rebuild. That's our job. Our job is not to sit around and wave flags and go in our prayer closet and tell the Lord how much we love him and sing songs to him. Our job is to pull the other kingdoms down and build his kingdom. That's our job. That's our job.
Amen.
And what Alan, the point Alan was making is we have a little God. We have a very, very little God who's just maybe capable. Oh, he could never end abortion. Oh, could you end abortion? Oh, Lord, if we just pray a little bit harder. Are you kidding me? What does it say about what we think about God? What does it say about this power? All power has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. I heard you, Michelle. 42 years and 4 days. What are we going to do? We're in a waiting mode. We're running out the clock. Mode. We're in a prevent defense mode in the American church. And I've seen a lot of guys lose a game on a last second pass. I told Michelle as I was riding in the car yesterday, in all my coaching career, I'm telling you the truth, in all my coaching career, I can only think of one game when I was coach that we lost that we should have won. In other words, most of the times we got beat, the other team was better. I can look back over my entire 100 and however many games of coaching and think it's only one we lost that we should have won. We lose every day. We think it's part of the plan. We don't even play. Come on in, Michelle, then Mike Heath.
Morning, family. Hi, Coach. I'm going to take a stab at the question of the day. What are we going to do? I've been in intercessory ministry for 18 years of my life. It's a long time. And the battle got really intense in 2017, and then it got really intense in 2020. It's a whole new ballgame out there. And I've been asking the same thing, God, what do you want us to do? And the most thing, I'm glad that 2 Thessalonians is still up there, for therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which we have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And we need to do that. We need to keep on holding fast to what we know to be true. And we need to keep our oil lamps filled, because as Alan referenced, those virgins, the difference between them, they've got the same attire, they've got the same everything. But the difference is when that trumpet sound, they had lamp, they had oils in their lamp. And that's what's going to separate us, the people with oil and the people with no oil. And that's what's going to separate the church as well. And that's going to be intense.
Mike Heath, come on in.
Coach, we need to stand at the shoulder of King Jesus, and we need to come roaring into the school board meetings and to everything that we in the West consider to be political in Christ's name. And we need to be smart about it. And we need to rethink everything about politics, everything about how it's been done for our entire lifetime. We need to rediscover the Christian imagination and understand that God made us for such a time as this, to be heroes. This is a wonderful time to be alive. you have a chance to be a hero facing down the greatest threat in human history to global humanity. How great is that, Coach?
What a time to be alive, Mike. What a time to be alive. And we all know right now, as I sit here right now, they're talking about another variant now, right?
Man.
And most people believe them. They believe there's another variant. They'll lock you down again, right? And they're going to tell you, Fauci and those guys, you won't. They won't listen to Carey Made. They won't listen to Tenpenny. They won't listen to Stella Emanuel. They won't listen to Brian Artis. They won't listen to I can run down a litany of them. They're like beggars out in the street crying out to truth. Crying out the truth, and nobody will hear it. Our pastors won't even hear it.
Amen.
They listen to Fauci. They listen to Fauci. They can't have no discernment to see what's going on. The strong delusion. They're believing a lie. Who is? The Lord's team is believing a lie. I don't care if the devil's team believes a lie. The Lord's team's believing a lie. And it's judgment from God. No, there's no other. I wasn't going to do this morning. Come on in, Larry, then Tracy.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned that for almost 6 years you've been doing this and and I got this sense that you're feeling a little frustrated because you feel like nothing has changed. But, Coach, things have changed. Things have changed. We have changed. First of all, you've grown from 5 people to 132 people, 26 times as many people.
Hallelujah.
In less than 6 years. And also, we have changed, those of us who are associated with the exercise you've been doing. And you have been following, and you have been encouraging, reproving, strengthening, all those kinds of things that we're commanded to do for, and by the way, loving your brothers and sisters. All the things we're commanded to do, you've been doing, setting an example, and those of us that are here, we have been able to hopefully do the same thing in smaller atmospheres around us. That's why it went from 5 to 132. So things are happening.
I'll get you, Larry.
It's the things that cause us to be concerned about the world that we live in. And I said, world that we live in. That world that we live in is supposed to act like the world.
Amen, Larry. In fact, I was doing my monthly newsletter yesterday, and I went down through the calendar book and looked at all the stuff that we have done. And you know what really hit me? You guys are doing it. You're right, Larry. We're doing a lot of stuff, man. People don't get it. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of fruit from what we're doing here. And I'm not trying to chastise you guys because you guys are engaged. I'm giving an overall plea. What's going on? Folks, would you agree with me that for the most part, our churches, there's a strong delusion on our churches. I turned on a Sunday service that was streaming. And what they were talking about in that church has nothing to do with what's going on in the world.
That wasn't a church, Coach.
No relationship at all to what's going on in the world. That's a strong delusion, see. They're in there thinking they have the Holy Ghost. They're going around, they're waving flags, they're dancing, they're falling out up in the aisle. And in the meantime, they're killing babies right down the street, indoctrinating the children in doctrines of demons. And there's no correlation at all between the selfish, can I say it? The selfish gospel. The selfish gospel, the me, me, me gospel, and the die to self gospel. There's no association at all between those two gospels.
Amen.
Amen.
Tracy, come on in.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I was going to say pretty much a little bit on the same side as Larry that I've been fighting a lot of battles silently over the years, but you being in this group has made it like I pack a punch now. But I do feel like Michelle. Sometimes I feel like an octopus. I need 8 arms. There's so many fires to put out. And I feel like my head's spinning. And if we go through one more lockdown, I'm ready. I mean, I don't know what's coming next, but I'm ready because I'm just so sick and tired of the evil that we face every day. It's just so much. It's overwhelming.
It's everywhere, right? That's what I'm saying. So my rant is this. We are doing something, right? We are doing something. But overall, it looks like we're so stinking helpless. That's my point. That's my point. Come on, Naomi. Jesus.
So I agree with Larry, and I tell you, Coach, that my flame was almost out, and you have helped to reignite my flame, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Also, you know how many people go into a hospital? More people go into the hospital or the pharmacia pimp's office than will actually go into a church. So the hospitals and the current medical people or system has become the biggest church ever, the biggest church, and more people will believe them than they'll believe whatever, you know, the truth that's being out there.
Amen.
Well, we're conditioned, right, to do what? A strong delusion that we would believe a lie. It's a judgment of God. Judgment of God's upon us, friends. Lisa, exactly. Come in. Lisa, then Randy.
Yeah. You're talking about a preponderance of evidence and the Holy Spirit. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, everybody's here anyway, is feeling that, you know, and we're putting together all these things that are happening. And at the end of this, I want to say one thing that I'm doing that everybody can do to reach whatever information that you want to give out, like to organize people. Because we have more parking lots and cars. And when my son was little, he used to come home with a lot of money when he was like 10 or 11. I'm like, where did you get this money? He said a lady wanted me to advertise for her eyeglasses place. And she pays me $10 an hour to put these things on people's windshields. Now, if you walk down the middle of cars that are facing each other, in an hour, I put, you know, I do this like if I'm coming out of the grocery store or whatever, I put at least 200, not, and it's not even an hour, but let's say a half hour. So you're reaching 200 people in 30 minutes. And if everybody did that, how many people would we reach? The other thing is when I hand these things to people, before they even know what's on it, they say thank you. And people are so desperate out there to know what's going on. But as far as the preponderance of evidence, and if I say this, I'm probably going to be kidnapped tomorrow or something. This is just how I feel right now. I mean, your wife's talking to you. I'm talking to my husband. I'm yelling at him sometimes saying, what are you going to do? What do we do? What's our plan? Well, if you look at what's going on in Australia and these Aborigine people that are screaming for help because they're coming on to their land and telling them you have to leave your land, and they're chasing them and trying to give them this shot. And they just reported yesterday that China made some kind of deal, a written deal with their leader. Okay. What happened in our election? There were all these intrusions that they captured from China. And then you got the equipment that we left over in Afghanistan. China, what's going on with our military? China said if they get our military, then they're just going to come in here and wipe up. And then they had this hypersonic thing go over the earth with a and shocked the world with this thing. And they said that, you know, Biden's son took a ring and $30 million from China. And then she said he's God, right? They're killing Christians over there. They're harvesting people's organs while they're alive over there. They have slaves. Everything that's going on in our country looks like signs of totalitarianism. So all I'm saying here is Fauci made the weapon in China. He's torturing animals. He's torturing monkeys. He's experimenting.
My wife asked me this 42 years and 4 days. How's he still in power? How's Fauci still in power? Does anybody have an answer to that one? Thank you, Lisa. Well said. How's he stay in power? Randy, how's Fauci stay in power? Come on in. And Trump.
His end won't be pretty, Coach. It won't be pretty. It may not be time for him. You know, sometimes God says with iniquity, the iniquity's got to be filled up in certain things. Coach, look, how about us looking at ourselves and saying, is there enough preponderance of evidence in me to be seen as a Christian that will stand against evil? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Because, Coach, I can't change what's going on in Afghanistan. I can change my sphere of influence right here where I live.
That's right.
And I change it, Coach, every day because of what you put in me and because of what a lot of people put in me. They put truth in me here. And I'm studying the Word of God, and I pray, and I seek God. And I the Holy Spirit comes out of me because he is in me. So everyone can't say that. Coach, I was caught up in a Pentecostal church for years and years. I know all about raising the flags and doing everything. It's a lot of emotionalism. But once in a while, you'll get a few like me and Alan that'll come out of there that really get it and will be a difference in the culture.
I came out of it too, man. I came out of it too.
I hear you. I hear you. I feel you. And I want to quit sometimes because I see the delusion is so strong, no one can get out from under it. But, Coach, when I change one life, and you do, it pulls you right back in. Like Naomi said, that fire's in us. It's not out. It's getting stronger. I want to see the people. I want to see change, but I have to see it in my little sphere one at a time every day.
Amen.
Every day.
That's well said, Randy. God bless you, man. I came out of that stuff.
I got my hand up, Coach.
So do a bunch of other people. Go ahead, Jack.
Sorry, I'm on a phone. I can't put my hand up on that dumb thing. Hey, would you please read 1 Timothy 6:10 the same way you read Matthew 24? Christ didn't picket the local doctor's office. He didn't picket the Supreme Court. But boy, did he get some pissed and flipped over tables when it came to the money changers. Read 1 Timothy 6:10, all and pierced.
1 Timothy 6, oh, he's got it up there. For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. Jack, that was worth the interrupt. That was worth the interrupt. Come on in, Mark.
Amen, amen. Well, Coach, I want to just encourage you and let you know you're dead on what other people should be thinking. I want to take you back to when Michelle said, what are we going to do? Judy and I are saying the same thing. What are we going to do? And if you aren't saying, what are we going to do, then what the heck? But whenever your spouse says, what are we going to do? It kind of gives you freedom to think about what else you can do, Coach. And I'm just encouraged that your wife is supporting you and recognizes that something needs to be done. So yes. I wanted to say that. The other thing is on the show the other day, you said it's time to pop the clutch. So even though what Larry said's all true, we've been from five people to what we have now and countless others, it's time to pop the clutch still. And I feel that too in your cry, Coach.
Amen. I feel it. Thanks, Mark. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted away. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man, God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. I already got it. I've already got eternal life. I'm not just going to sit around and hang on to it. Whereunto thou art also called. Why? Because I have eternal life. Therefore, I'm also called. Scroll up for me, Spence, if you would. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I give thee charge inside of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He sure did. He said, you got no power over me, dude. You got no power over me. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can reproach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Boy, there's a mic drop. Opposition of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Michelle.
Well, amen. Oh, good morning, team. Yes, this has been, everybody's contributed so much to the conversation today. And Lisa brought up all of these things that are coming at us a million miles an hour. You can add cancer-causing foods and chemlines and fluoride, you know, whatever. That's why we need what Larry did. That encouragement was wonderful, Larry. Thank you. And Coach, don't be, I know it's hard when you see scripture being fulfilled. This falling away of the church, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Amen. And it's awful, but we are the remnant. We are the called out ones. That's why we have to recognize this and keep strong, keep to stay together and keep fighting. Amen. We all fight. We're all fighters here, Coach.
Amen. I know that. Science, falsely so-called. Jeff, come on in, and then Craig.
I'm motivated, Coach, to move forward and to preach the gospel. I got tired of visiting churches, and I see in those congregations of the so-called body of believers, and they're the witches and Satanists and homosexuals are in there. Once they come at the preacher, preaching the word of God, and it's such a hypocrisy, and it's terrible, and it's disgusting, and we're seeing the last days. Thank you.
Amen.
Because the church isn't the church. That's not the church. Come on in, Craig. Amen. Kevin.
Yeah, Coach. I just say, man, Jesus, the way, truth, and life. So you stick to the truth. And what I feel needs to be done is you do like they do. You find that breach, and you stick to that one subject. The enemy wants to bring in 40 different subjects for you to fight against. But you stick to that one, whether it's abortion or whatever it is, homelessness, I don't care what it is, you stick to that one, you create the breach, you pass through, and you push out with everybody else that's with you.
Amen, Craig. That's right. Plow your row. Plow your row. Kevin, then Joe.
You were talking about the fire. You know, for a long time, I had a great job, and I was a popular guy. And then the fire that was in me, because I was a popular guy, became just an ember. And that ember just sat there for about 5 years until about 2010, when a little video popped across my screen with news with views with a guy by the name of Coach Dave Dobenmar. Because I was the ember, because you know I was so distraught about Obama being president and the things that were going on at that time. And then you put a little kindling on top of that ember, and you blew a little dust of air across the top of it, and it started to reignite again. And then in January 2016, out of the blue, at 6 o'clock in the morning, my phone goes off with the world's on fire, and it was you. My phone lit up with you at 6 o'clock in the morning for no reason, and that was that breath to there again. Okay, so what it has done for me, what you have done for me, and what this group has done for me, is it's helped me stiff the stand of off of the foundation and the stone so I can build something in this area. And that's what you've done for me.
And
you're going to help
me. And we're coming out there, baby. We're coming out there. We're coming out there in 2 weeks. Or is it this week? Whenever it is, I'm coming out there.
This weekend.
It's this weekend.
We're going to set something on fire.
That's right. That's right. We're going to fan it into flames. That was one of the slogans we put on one of our football t-shirts 1 year. Fan it to flames. Fan it into flames, boys and girls. That spark, that ember, fan it into flames. We're going to do that. Joe Allen, then Bernie.
Coach, do you think Jesus had a big penis?
Yeah, I think he did. Good, Joe.
Maybe Fauci needs to join the list and the NIH building like we did Barr, Hillary Clinton, Biden, and Obama.
Yeah, maybe we need to get back to some more of that prophetic stuff that we did last year. It was really. Yeah.
I think Fauci deserves it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the hell coming his way, when people wake up, the hell coming his way is going to be something like we've never seen in our lifetime. I believe that. Bernie. Can't hear you, Bern.
Reggie. Thanks, Coach. A couple things real quick. Number one, you were said, you know, for 6 years, you don't know how what's changing since you've been doing the show, but we're all changing.
Yes.
And another thing is that I remember when I was opening the bookstore and I was sweating off, oh, Lord, are you really going to take care of me if I quit my job? And I was just really sweating it out. And I felt like Holy Spirit was saying, well, what did I already say? You know, yes. And we say, well, what should we do? Well, what did he tell us to do? That's what we need to be doing.
That's right.
Take it. And Martin Lloyd Jones said he was invited once to go and debate with some atheist guy. And he sweated it out. He's like, no, he said, the Lord didn't tell me to debate the gospel. He told me to go and proclaim it.
Amen, baby.
That's pretty powerful.
Very good, Bernie. Amen. Reggie, come on then. Then Janine.
Good morning, everybody. Coach, I hate to start this off with the word I, but bear with me. It's not about me. I have been turning over tables and kicking in doors for over 30 years. I kid you not, alone in the Roman Catholic Church. And I have been fighting against the Luciferian system for many, many, many years. And you do feel alone. And it wasn't until the Lord said, hey, guess what? You're leaving. And I'm telling you this for you. You're leaving Arizona. Well, we didn't know what that looked like, but we're obedient because all we've ever done is search for truth and fight evil. We ended up in a really bad place in a witch's coven in upstate New York. And then we ended up here because God said, okay, I needed to do that. Now we're here. And when I started working in my own little vineyard saying, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and do what I got to do and build this little house. Here comes this guy named Ohio Brett. Okay. And I'm like, man, he is a shot of B12. And he pushed me and pushed me. You need to come out. You need to meet these people. And I'm like, okay. So I did. I wasn't coming and I came. And he introduces me to this little guy, not putting you down, this shorter little guy. And I since that day, it is the only day I have ever felt that I have people that stand with me. They think like me. God is working. God is working here, and it is so big that we think we're it. We're not it. He's bringing a huge remnant, huge remnant together.
Boom, Reggie, boom.
From directions that we don't even know. I believe it.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm not poor mouthing this morning. Okay. We're marching to victory. I'm not poor mouthing. I'm just analyzing where we are. That's all I'm doing. Come on in, Janine.
Okay. You talk about preponderance of evidence. Let's go back to the verse where it says that he exalts himself above all, which the only person I know that does that is the Pope. Reggie's right exactly about that. There's only one man that calls himself God on earth and can forgive sins, and that's the Pope. And then we go back to, I remember years ago when I was a young girl, all of the people came out in our city, and I'm sure it was across the country, voting against fluoride. We voted it down, but it still went in. We voted down with the abortion. It still went in. The
gay marriage.
We voted not to take prayer out of. Huh? What's that?
Gay marriage.
What'd you say, Coach?
I said gay marriage. Yes. Same thing.
The schools. We voted not to take prayer. Exactly. We voted not to take prayer out of the schools. It went in anyway. I do believe that this is evidence that we are under judgment. The who exalted the I think it was Bill Clinton said, oh, we welcome you back, Pope. First of all, God wants obedience from us. And what have we done with the Sabbath? Spencer, can you put up Psalm 50? Let's see, would it be 51:10-13, please. He wants to create in us a clean heart. We can do all these things, but I love how you just said, oh, we run around raising flags, blah, blah, blah. I came out of the Pentecostal church too. It's a bunch of crap.
Emotionalism.
It starts with us. I think it was Randy. Yes, Randy, you were right on. If you look at yourself first and start doing what God says, then maybe things will get changed. Read that? 10-13?
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
And that word joy means understanding. Understanding what our salvation means and what we should be doing.
Amen. Let me tell two stories here. Last night, just before Michelle and I went to bed, this is how I know the Holy Spirit's real and how I know he is there for all of our provisions. I was sitting in one chair in my living room. Michelle was sitting in the other. We both were doing what lovers do, scrolling on our cell phones. She had her cell phone out doing one thing, and I had my cell phone out doing another thing. And I'm sitting right there, and as clear as a bell, the Holy Spirit says to me, call blank. I won't tell you who it is. Doesn't matter. Call blank. And I thought, what the hell? Why am I going to call him? I'm going to call him. And 28 seconds later, he texted me. You hear that?
Boom.
20 seconds later, he texted me. Then, just after that gets done, Michelle is putting together, don't miss this, Michelle's putting together her women's event. One of the things that's going to be done at the women's event is Pastor Payne's wife, Nicole Gill, is going to teach how to make colloidal silver. She's going to show how to do it. And after the colloidal silver is made, she wanted to be able to send home colloidal silver with everybody who came, a little jar of colloidal silver. And Nicole was talking about with Michelle about our budget. Do we have enough to buy the jars and all that kind of stuff? And Michelle was messing around doodling. And it's just after the first thing where the guy texted me, I put the phone down, and I'm on my computer. It's in front of me. And all of a sudden, what pops up on my computer? A Facebook advertisement for 40 5-ounce mason jars, glass mason jars with a cover for $17. Popped up on my screen. I said, Michelle, look here. I said, do you want them? She says, yeah, yeah. So I Facebook, whatever you do on that guy, Facebook that guy, I'll take him. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? She had him in school 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Wow.
Popped up on our screen. He's going to deliver them tomorrow. This was his teacher in elementary school.
Praise God.
See, what are you saying, Coach? I'm saying that the provision of God is so far greater than we understand it to be.
Amen.
But if he can give me mason jars, he can restore righteousness, folks.
Hallelujah. Yes, Coach.
Randy, come on in, then Larry. If you come, you get a mason jar. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, when we can hear the Holy Spirit and then we obey him, Coach, we're walking in the kingdom. We're living in the realm of God. That is the whole picture, Coach. What you just said—that's how it looks when you got God in your mind and your heart, and you, that's how it looks. That's just a great story, Coach.
Randy, he's sitting right there beside. He's not only talking to me; he is somehow communicating with his other person as well.
Amen, yeah. Coach.
Call it a coincidence if you want. Larry, come on in.
Nothing like coincidence.
Yeah, you know what are we going to do? What do we do? Our wives are asking. We're asking our wives, asking each other. And the answer, do what you know to do.
Amen.
Pull down the stronghold instead of praying about them. You know, when the Israelites went around Jericho, they did things according to the way the Lord told them to do them. You know, it doesn't sound like marching around a city is going to cause it to come down, but it didn't. It may have been part of the deal, but it was some noise from the trumpets or whatever. But the thing is they did specifically what God told them to do to pull down strongholds. They just didn't go back. And in the whole book of Joshua, where it talks about what happened at Jericho, not once does Joshua say, pray about Jericho falling.
Yes. Faith without works is dead. I don't know about you guys. I've been encouraged today. Sign up for Michelle's event on the, go to the website. So we're going to be in, Neosho, Missouri this weekend. Got a lot of stuff going on. Now is the time to blitz, boys and girls. Now's the time. I'm encouraged today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.